Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is brought to you by Pepsi. This football season has been different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch for the rest of 2020. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com today to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What's up, everybody? Louis DiBiase joining you on this Thursday edition of the show. And with it being a Thursday edition of the show, that means it's crossover Thursday with the Eagles taking on the Arizona Cardinals this Sunday in Arizona. We got to preview that matchup between Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, the two last Oklahoma Sooners quarterbacks. One won the Heisman and Kyler Murray. Jalen Hurts himself was a Heisman finalist. They're going to go head-to-head on Sunday in a really big game for both teams. The Arizona Cardinals, 7-6, they're only a game ahead of the Minnesota Vikings for that final seventh seed. Remember, the NFC and AFC playoffs have been expanded this year, going from six seeds to seven, and so the Cardinals are barely hanging on, even though they were red-hot to start the 2020 season. They're barely hanging on to that final spot, so they need this win as much as our beloved Philadelphia Eagles do, who, surprisingly, just because they're at 4-8-1, doesn't mean their season is over. The Eagles are 1.5 games back of the Washington football team for first place in the NFC East. So there's a path where a scenario where they can go 2-1 and still win the division, but you would need a ton of help from the Giants losing games and from Washington. Whereas if you win all three games and you beat Washington, including this game with Arizona, including the matchup as well against the Dallas Cowboys, then all you would really need is Washington to lose one game between the Carolina Panthers matchup they still have and the Seattle Seahawks. And I think they would also need the Giants to lose one, but the Giants also do not have a super easy schedule these final 3 weeks of the season. So the Eagles are alive, and this is a huge game for rookie quarterback Jalen Hurts in his second start on the road, and this Eagles team to go up against a dynamic offense with Kyler Murray at quarterback, with DeAndre Hopkins at wide receiver. And that is the matchup that we're really going to dive into today. I sat down with Bo Brack and Alex Clancy, my two good friends, the two co-hosts of the Locked On Cardinals podcast, to preview that matchup between the Eagles defense and Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, which could be the key to this game. As normally it would be for Arizona, Kyler and Hopkins, I think, are their two most important players, but especially against Philadelphia, because you look at the Wednesday injury report, cornerback Darius Slay did not participate with a concussion. Cornerback Avante Maddox did not participate with a knee injury. We heard the news that safety Roddy McLeod is out for the season with a torn ACL. So that's pretty much your entire secondary that's hurt. You're going to have Nickell Roby-Coleman in the slot. Jalen Mills is going to have to move from safety to corner, which means you're going to have a rookie in Kayvon Wallace playing safety, and you're going to have Kayvon Seymour playing at corner as the CB2. So you might have to have Jalen Mills shadow DeAndre Hopkins, and we already know the kind of corner that Jalen Mills is. He's not very good. So that is a huge mismatch that we dug into on Crossover Thursday, but also getting into the other side of the football too. What does Jalen Hurts have to do in his second start? Super impressive on the ground, especially in the way he composed himself against the 10-2 New Orleans Saints in his first career win. It was a damn impressive debut. And now he's going up against a worse defense. Can we see more now with Jalen Hurts through the passing game? Because that might be what it's going to take for the Eagles to get this win against Arizona, is through Jalen Hurts throwing the football. So we're going to dig into all of that coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. It's Crossover Thursday with Locked On Cardinals. Bo Brack, Alex Clancy, they're going to join me next. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This episode of Crossover Thursday is brought to you by Built Go, which comes from the same great people over at Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar out there. Built Go is your solution to breaking through the wall. Whether that wall is a mental wall or a physical wall, for me it's both at the overnights at the radio station, 10:30 p.m. to 5 a.m. That's both a mental grind and a physical grind, and I get through it with Built Go. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy without that same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. They've got 3 delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Visit BuiltGo.com today and use the promo code LOCKED. That's LOCKED, and you're going to get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED. LOCKED at BuiltGo.com for 20% off. Built Go, let's go.
It's Thursday, so that means it's crossover time. This time, Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, locked on Cardinals. Louis DiBiase, locked on Eagles. In a clash on Sunday that both sides didn't really expect, and for completely different reasons, the Arizona Cardinals, through 6 or 7 weeks, were like, oh, yeah, you know what? That could be a W. And a couple weeks ago, that kind of turned to maybe a question mark when the Cardinals expected to be playing along, against Carson Wentz. Now with Jalen Hurts in the fold, coming off a victory, the biggest victory of the year for the Eagles, playing the Saints. And now, Louis, after you've had kind of a couple days to reflect on what you watched from Jalen Hurts and how the offense, jumped behind him and overcame a formidable opponent with the Saints, what are your thoughts on Jalen Hurts as a prospect moving forward, not just for this year, but following, in the 2021 season?
Yeah, so look, even for Jalen Hurts, who's a player at the collegiate level that was no stranger to the big stage at Alabama, at Oklahoma, being benched in the national championship for Tua, and then the next year coming back in and winning the SEC championship for Alabama, even for a guy like that, to see how calm, cool, collected he was in that kind of situation against a 10-2 Saints team that was riding a 9-game win streak, that was the number one defense in the NFL, an elite rushing defense, for Jalen Hurts to look as poised like a 5 to 10 year veteran, it was still really impressive. I think there's still meat left on the bones in the passing game, and for me to take him seriously as an option rather than fixing Carson Wentz in 2021, I want to see more from him as a passer. Only 167 passing yards against the Saints, but overall, I mean, the way he portrayed himself, on the field, the way he handled himself, and also the way he ran the football was really promising. And so that gives the Eagles a chance, even at 4-8-1, to still win the NFC East a game and a half back from Washington. So I thought it was a great start. I don't think it was a debut that like blew the doors off of the building, but at the same time, it was definitely very encouraging for somebody like Jalen Hurts. So I'm really excited to see what he can do here now in game 2 against Arizona.
Yeah, I was really surprised. Did you kind of see the fallout on the website, like ESPN.com? They were talking about what if they went 7-8-1, went out with Jalen Hurts, and then what the ramifications of that would be. It was just insane to kind of just see the Jalen Hurts hysteria the next day. But then you think about it, this was a 17-0 lead for this Philadelphia Eagles team going into halftime against the Saints team, and then they get outscored 21-7 down the stretch. What was there a big difference between Jalen Hurts to start the game and how he finished the game?
Yeah, I think he did start off really hot, and I thought the Saints, they had no idea what they were going to expect out of this offense, and I thought Doug Peterson did a really good job being creative pre-snap, with motion, getting Jalen Reagor moving in space, and also you got some reverses and the mesh concepts that they really did not use a lot with Carson Wentz in this receiving core, getting Jalen Hurts outside the pocket, but then I thought the Saints adjusted really well in the second half. And again, with Hurts, he ran for 7 first downs in that game, and I thought he really created well with his legs outside of structure. But then when it came time for the receivers to get open and for him to just throw the football, I thought they struggled in that way. And so that's, again, why I was really encouraged by Hurts against, in that kind of situation, high pressure. I mean, you're replacing what was supposed to be the franchise elite quarterback for the Eagles that just signed a $100 million contract. For him to come in and do what he did was impressive, but still, in the second half, he got lucky that one pass was not intercepted and taken to the house. So I want to see more with his arm. I thought in the second half he struggled in that way. So against the Cardinals, it's an easier defensive matchup. I think we need to see more out of him. No matter what, I thought what he did on Sunday is the best way to win moving forward over Carson Wentz. But if I'm going to take him seriously as like a long-term option over Carson or over drafting a guy in 2020 or 2021, need to see more with his arm inside the pocket. I mean, that's never going to be who he is. He's always going to be a scrambler, but got to see more with the arm to really believe in that ceiling over just the floor, because he's got a high floor, but I want to see the ability to have that high ceiling too.
Louis DiBiase, locked on Eagles. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, locked on Cardinals. Part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Crossover Thursday. We've seen this before, what Jalen Hurts did this past Sunday. It's kind of like, oh, well, he's going to be more of a runner than Carson Wentz. We've seen running quarterbacks before, but for some reason, Everyone is unique in some specific way. And Jalen Hurts' giddy up, I hadn't seen in a while because, you know, he hadn't really played in it. It was part of the Oklahoma system, but Jalen Hurts blossomed as a passer in Oklahoma under Lincoln Riley. And you saw that with Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield, et cetera. Now, if the Cardinals, as Bo and I have discussed, kind of play the Kyler Murray defense where you stay home, you're not really blitzing as much unless it's on the outside with your edge rushers. Have you seen anything from Jalen Hurts that would show that he could improve as a passer seemingly overnight? Or is this going to be, if he can't run the ball, it could be potentially bad for the Eagles offense?
Yeah, so I don't think he's just dependent on his legs. I do think he's got good touch on the ball. I think he's got good accuracy. I think there's a certain floor of arm strength there for Hurts. And again, he did improve drastically from the start of his Alabama career to the end with Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley's system. I thought you did see year after year improvement with his arm. And he did make some impressive throws for sure. I mean, it wasn't enough for me to believe in him long term yet. But at the same time, that touchdown to Alshon Jeffrey where, you know, the offensive line, they pinch inside because the Saints had a blitzer, a linebacker through the A-gap, and so that left a free rusher on Hurts' blind side. And he stepped right into it knowing he was going to take the hit, hits Alshon on the money for a back shoulder throw. So he did make some impressive passes. So I am encouraged moving forward that he can improve in that area because he's already shown it. However, again, I want to see more from him. We just haven't seen it yet. And also some of it's on the, you know, situation around him. His receivers right now are not very good. They don't get open on their own. Doug Peterson is still a pretty inconsistent play caller, at least through the air. I liked what he did again, pre-snap and creativity through the ground. But yeah, we got to see more from everybody. Hurts, Peterson, the receivers in this passing game. If I'm going to take them seriously, and again, especially against this Arizona Cardinals team that can, you know, throw it on anybody. So if they're caught in a shootout and there's a lot of injuries on this Eagles defense, they might have to. Hurts is going to probably have to throw 30 plus times. And that's good though. We want to see him in that kind of situation because that's what's going to be required of him if he wants to be a franchise quarterback. He's not always going to be able to just run for 100 yards and win you games that way.
I mean, it bodes well for the future of the franchise, right? But does it bode well for this week and beating the Cardinals?
Yeah, that's the part I don't know about. And that's right. What I'm kind of nervous with here. You looked at the Eagles' injury report on Wednesday, and Darius Slay missed practice with a concussion at cornerback. Their second cornerback, Avante Maddox, also out with a knee injury. So you might be looking at Jalen Mills moving back from safety to corner. So with Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk, and that high-powered Cardinals offense, I'm nervous about this matchup for sure. It's not the same as going up against Taysom Hill last week. They're going to have to put up points, and they're going to have to do it through the air, I think, to keep pace with Arizona.
Yeah, let me ask you about that more about that defense. It is injury-riddled, it seems like. Are they a product of earlier in the season being on the field too much? Or is there talent on this defense? Because when you look, it's kind of a Jekyll and Hyde performance all of 2020. I mean, what's your overall thought of that defense and its ability of slowing down at least the two key cogs as far as the Arizona Cardinals offense and Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah, it's kind of a mixed bag. It's been a really inconsistent year. I think the numbers actually look really solid and surprising for their personnel. I think Jim Schwartz has done a really good job this year elevating that team because, look, their defensive line, it's kind of the tale of two different units. Like, the defensive line is a top three unit in football. They're, I think, second in the league right now in sacks, only behind Pittsburgh, where Brandon Graham's got 7, Fletcher Cox has 6.5, Josh Sweat has 6, Derek Barnett's got 5.5, Javon Hargrave 4.5. So that's an elite pass rush up front. And so that's been the core of your defense this year, and that's how they've been winning games with their defenses, through their pass rush. But where I'm nervous is when Kyler Murray gets out in space, that second level, that third level, has been destroyed with injuries. And even when it wasn't very talented. I think the Eagles easily have the least amount of linebacker talent in football, and I don't think it's even close. So that's a matchup that I'm really concerned about. And then you look at the secondary, they're not going to have probably Darius Slay. They're probably not going to have Avante Maddox. So Jalen Mills, who last year just was not good enough at corner to the point where they moved him to safety this year, he might have to shadow DeAndre Hopkins. So the Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins dynamic is the one that I'm really nervous about, because this defense, they can get to the quarterback, but if Kyler creates and if he evades that pressure, that's when things could go really, really bad for the Eagles. Because they also, sorry, I didn't even mention, last week their starting safety, who's never missed a snap in 2020 so far, Roddy McLeod, also out for the season with a torn ACL. So Arizona, they've got some mismatches for sure. I like the defensive line for the Birds, but the second and third level, I'm nervous about that for the rest of 2020.
I have two things to say to you, Louis DiBiase, at DiBiase LOE on Twitter. Number one, why the Birds? Like, why the Cardinals are a bird? Like, why the hell are the Eagles just like, you know what? East Coast,
just claim the birds. Well, I mean, considering we're the only team, we're the birds that have won a championship recently. Oh, I think we deserve that claim.
I mean, you're not wrong about that statement, but still. And listen, you know, and number two, this makes me feel a lot better as an Arizona Cardinals pundit. You know, somebody that covers the Cardinals. It's a rare, and this isn't a dig whatsoever. It's a rare feeling. And Bo, I would assume you'd agree with this, that where a team comes into Arizona and fears the Cardinals, that hasn't happened in a long time.
Yeah.
Like, it hasn't happened. Like, 2018, I still feel just mentally beaten from 2018. And there's still some remnants of, like, it's a herky-jerky. Like, if something goes wrong, it's like, oh, no. Is it reverting back? And then slowly but surely, that's weakening. But, yeah, the birds thing, we might have to have a town hall meeting for that. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, Locked On Cardinals. Louis DiBiase, Locked On Eagles. On the other side, it's Louis's turn to ask us whatever questions he sees fit ahead of Sunday's matchup where the Eagles come to State Farm Stadium and play the Cardinals. That's next on a Crossover Thursday, Locked On Podcast Network.
Today's episode of Crossover Thursday on Locked On Eagles and Locked On Cardinals is brought to you by Pepsi. This football season has been different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch for the rest of the 2020 regular season, the playoffs, and the big game. Pepsi is a refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com today to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. All right, everybody, welcome back into Crossover Thursday. Louis DiBiase here of Locked On Eagles. We got Bo Brack of Locked On Cardinals and Alex Clancy. So, guys, we talked a lot about the Eagles and, you know, Jalen Hurts, who's making his second start against Arizona on Sunday. And the Eagles are alive here despite being 4-8-1 in the NFC East, only a game and a half back of the Washington football team. So they need to win at least two of these last three, probably have to win out to have a chance at the playoffs. And Arizona, you guys are also in a fight here with the Minnesota Vikings, who obviously they suffered a loss that's crucial for Arizona last week against Tampa. So they're 6-7 now, right? And the Arizona Cardinals get a big win to improve to 7-6. But I want to ask you guys, because Arizona was red hot to start the year and through the first 8 weeks of the season, they were one of the best teams in football, especially on the offensive side. Kyler Murray, an early MVP candidate for sure. But it feels like ever since that Hail Mary where DeAndre Hopkins converts against the Buffalo Bills, this hasn't been the same team. Would you guys agree to that? Like, what's been the inconsistencies, especially on the offensive side of the football, really since the second half of the season started?
Yeah, it's been a weird year. If you look at who the Cardinals have beaten and who they've lost to, if you were to tell me that the Cardinals say would go 8-8 when the season started, pretty much every game would be flipped. The games they won, you'd think they'd lose, and vice versa. It's been a very weird season, and the way the schedule has been stacked up. You know, it's just been weird. I think the Cardinals, they were playing out of their shoes early. Kyler Murray's ability to run the ball was keeping everything alive. Mm-hmm. And when defenses midway through the season kind of started to get smart a little bit, there was a little adjustment period where it's like, oh, you can't rely on Kyler Murray running the ball. And then you realize you have DeAndre Hopkins and pretty much nobody else to throw the ball to that's not a running back or Dan Arnold, who's come on as of late. You know, you had Christian Kirk had touchdowns in consecutive games, I think 3 out of 4 games. Dan Arnold's had a handful of touchdowns in the last 5 games. But all in all, and Bo and I actually talked about this in the first segment, all in all, this offense on paper, talent-wise, doesn't translate as much as you think it would to the field. DeAndre Hopkins is a 1A, if not one receiver in the league, in my opinion. I thought that before he was traded here when he was with Houston. And then there is a severe drop-off. You go from a wide receiver 1 to maybe a wide receiver 3 in Christian Kirk. Larry Fitzgerald is there to block. He's there for moral support. He's there to be a leader, and he's there to turn around and catch a pass once in a while. And Chase Edmonds is good out of the backfield. You could probably say he's the second best receiver the Cardinals have had over the course of the year. Dan Arnold's emergence is gonna prove to be huge, if possible, because the Cardinals need a number 2. Bo and I talked about this in the first segment of this podcast. It's on paper. The Cardinals' offense looks a lot better than it is, and luckily the offensive line has played very well for the majority of the season, which has allowed a little bit more leeway with Kyler, because if the offensive line was played like last year or the year before, the Cardinals would not have the record they do right now.
I think, too, you mentioned a lot about how Kyler Murray is elevating that offense, which might not be as good as it looks on paper. And I think the Eagles know this very well, you know, with their history at quarterback, Randall Cunningham, Donovan McNabb, Michael Vick, you know, early seasons of Carson Wentz and now Jalen Hurts, what a mobile quarterback can do for an offense that might be lacking the talent, the personnel up front or at receiver or in the backfield, or, you know, they might not have the best play caller in football. And so I think you guys would agree that, you know, in the NFL, that's just what the league is moving towards now, quarterbacks that can run, right? I think the majority of the NFL either has that guy or they want that guy. The Cardinals, after a year of selecting Josh Rosen, they moved on instantly to Kyler Murray. What has that mobility and that scramble drill, an elite running quarterback like Kyler Murray, like the Eagles saw what it can do with Jalen Hurts last week. Just how crucial has that been for Arizona's offense in 2020?
I mean, it's been huge. He was lethal in the red zone for the first 8 weeks of the season. I mean, it was money in the bank. The Cardinals would get close within the first 20 yards, and they would not just turn it into points and field goals. It was touchdowns. And Kyler Murray has 10 on the ground, and he hasn't found the end zone in the last couple of weeks, and that's because opposing defenses have done a good job in taking that away. And the Arizona Cardinals haven't been able to, you know, make the next move on the chessboard. So Kyler Murray, Cliff Kingsbury didn't even figure out how to get him back into those positions of success in the red zone. Is it going to be in 2020? This offense, as far as the play caller and Kingsbury, this coaching staff, they haven't been able to adjust, and we'll see, you know, what their next move is. But Kyler Murray, when he can get out in space, has just been absolutely dynamic. You know, Alex caught some flack earlier this season by saying he was more elusive than even a guy like Lamar Jackson, because Kyler Murray, because of his stature, because of his non-traditional football frame, can't afford to get hit. He's got to be a butterfly out there. He can't get stung, because if he does, he's going to be on the sideline for an extended period of time. But Kyler Murray is unbelievable as far as when he's in space, when he can get out of the pocket. But, you know, recently, opposing defensive have done a great job in containing him, confining him to that pocket. And it's just a different offense when that's the case.
Guys, just, I know it's obvious how good DeAndre Hopkins is, but how beneficial has that been for, you know, that addition, that trade for Kyler Murray in year two? I mean, that's a guy that the Eagles were not interested in trading for this offseason. They also passed on trying to get in on the Stephon Diggs sweepstakes. And so I thought you saw Carson Wentz, and there's not really a presence of a true wide receiver one in that offense. And it really has hurt Carson in his career. What has that done for Kyler Murray and his development in year two, grabbing an elite receiver? I mean, you've seen what it's done for so many young quarterbacks, and for Murray, it looks like it's helping. I would say that's an understatement.
DeAndre Hopkins is really good. And the fact that, like, just a quick flashback, Bo and I agree with this, and we've talked about this ad nauseum when it happened. If you would have told me that the Arizona Cardinals had to trade David Johnson and a second round pick for Houston to take on that contract and just get a fourth round pick back, you would have been happy with that. You'd be like, well, it's the medicine you have to take for giving David Johnson $30 million, the whole thing, and then you would have just moved on. The fact that they got DeAndre Hopkins back, number one, was just it's unconscionable that would have happened. So it happened. DeAndre Hopkins signs his contract extension. Everything's great. First couple weeks, he's catching numbers. He has numbers that we haven't seen a wide receiver have since Larry Fitzgerald, you know, years and years ago. It was unbelievable, especially week one and week two. It was like, this is going to be the greatest thing ever. So there's been a dip recently. And we get into conversations about this constantly, where is it Cliff Kingsbury not calling the plays that makes DeAndre Hopkins the number one option in the progression, or is Kyler Murray just not looking at him? And a lot of the conversations have been in the red zone, where Dan Arnold's kind of been the favorite target. And we've seen that happen over time namely, we talked about this last week with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, how they're one of the most prolific 1-2 punches in NFL history, regardless of them not winning a Super Bowl. But in the red zone, Julio Jones doesn't score touchdowns. It's Calvin Ridley, it's Roddy White, it's running backs, it's you know, Austin Hooper, Tony Gonzalez. It was never Julio Jones one. And it's something that isn't an issue, but it's just a wrinkle in the relationship they have that seemed to have taken a dip recently. And he had big numbers last week. A lot of that was in the second half after the game wasn't necessarily, quote unquote, surely in hand, but he had a lot of yards in the second half. The week before, the touchdown catch was to keep the Cardinals in the game, but it wasn't, you know, of actual real substantive consequence. So it's going to take a while, but DeAndre Hopkins just being on the roster gives the Cardinals some juice that they haven't had. I mean, even with Larry Fitzgerald is going to go down as one of the most overlooked receivers ever. And it's going to be like, oh, well, he played a lot of years and he was lucky enough to not get hurt and blah, 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 blah. DeAndre Hopkins is the man. Like, everybody wants DeAndre Hopkins on their team. And the fact that the Cardinals have him with Kyler Murray in his second year, it's magical. And hopefully they'll be able to build on it this year and not have more peaks than valleys than they've had as of late.
Guys, before we wrap up this edition of Crossover Thursday, it's a Locked On Eagles and Locked On Cardinals special edition of the show. Louis DiBiase here of LOE, Alex Clancy and Bo Brack of Locked On Cardinals. What is Jalen Hurts going to have to deal with for this Arizona defense on Sunday? That they've dealt with some injuries as well on all three levels, but it looked like the pass rush really came alive, especially Hassan Reddick, who is a New Jersey native, went to Temple. So Philadelphia Eagles fans are very, and just Philadelphians in general, are very familiar with Hassan Reddick, who had 5 sacks last week. What do the Eagles overall have to deal with on this Arizona defense?
Yeah, it's that pass rush, absolutely, and it's just a kind of a collection of guys, misfits that kind of have turned the corner and earned themselves some playing time in the absence of Chandler Jones, who had 19 sacks for this team in 2019. He goes down with the biceps injury early, and you're like, okay, where's this pass rush going to come? Reddick, who was the 13th overall pick, as you mentioned, out of Temple, had never kind of found his way or his way onto the football field as far as consistent snaps with his team, because at first they wanted him to play stand-up linebacker because of his athleticism, but he's a pass rusher. And they found that out after they declined his option year, and he's going to be a guy that is going to go into free agency this year because of last week. He doubled his sack total in one game. He has 10 now. And then you've got a guy like Dennis Gardeck, who starred on special teams, who in a part-time role can get after the quarterback as well. And you've got Devon Kennard, who had 7.5 sacks for Detroit the previous season before the Cardinals picked him up. And Jordan Phillips hopefully coming back. It's going to be a relentless pass rush that you don't necessarily know where the pressure is going to come from. And I got to imagine for a quarterback as young as Jalen Hurts, even though he stayed in college forever, is just kind of seeing those different looks from defensive coordinator Vance Joseph, because that's really how this team is going to slow down the Philadelphia Eagles on offense. Then you've also got the ability, especially with the young wide receivers for Philly, is a guy like Patrick Peterson might not be the 8-time Pro Bowler that he once was, but he can certainly handle the Philadelphia Eagles wide receivers. And if somebody gets put on Peterson's island, I think he could take them out of that game, that contest on Sunday. So the Arizona Cardinals matched up against Philadelphia Eagles this week, and I think that it's very favorable, and I don't think they'd change things up to maybe fit the style of what Philly's going to bring at them. I think they're going to try to flex themselves and play their style and get after the quarterback.
Guys, the betonline.ag line right now has the Cardinals at -7. What do we think about that?
Take the points. Give me that point.
I think so too.
I mean, and what's the over-under right now? It's probably 48 or so, isn't it?
49.5.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's juicy. I mean, the Eagles.
I'm going to take the over.
Yeah, the Eagles' defense was pretty good last week. It depends on. I mean, if that offensive line is that tore up, injury-wise, and
it is.
I mean, I don't know, man. That's a titillating line.
Think about what Arizona's done to the rest of that division, though. I mean, they've blown every NFC East team out. It hasn't even been close. I mean, they took down the Washington football team in week two. They crushed Dallas on Monday Night Football, and they absolutely obliterated the Giants last week. It hasn't been a contest with all those teams, and then the Cardinals play tight games otherwise. I don't know. I think that sometimes, and it happened with the Giants last week, Louie, where the Giants had kind of a fluky win over the Seattle Seahawks, and then sometimes there's just an anomalies on those schedules. And I don't know, I think that the Cardinals are the better team this week. And I'm not trying to, like, crush Philly and the talent on that roster. They're depleted, you know, as far as injuries go. But I think the Cardinals are just at fuller strength, and that they're going to be at home. And last week, look, it was great to see what Jalen Hurts did, but I just, to see a consistent, like, back-to-back weeks if Jalen Hurts comes out and lights the world on fire again, you know, I'd be shocked by that. I really would. I think that the Cardinals can cover that 7.
Yeah, look, everything you said is right. I mean, this Eagles team has been pretty bad throughout the majority of 2020, and they're dealing with a lot of injuries. They're on the road. The Cardinals are clearly a better football team in almost every way. But at the same time, it's hard for me to, and it looks like a fluke, but that's what it's looked like for the Eagles down the stretch the last 3 seasons, where a backup quarterback comes in or all these injuries happen, and then suddenly they go on this run again, this improbable run to the postseason. Yeah. So you know, it's hard for me to ignore the 2018 run and the 2019 run when it comes to this line and the Eagles' chances at getting into the postseason. But I think you look at the 49.5, this, we could be in for a shootout, guys. I think this is going to be a really fun matchup and can't wait to see what happens on Sunday.
Yeah, Louis, off the top of your head, what's Doug Peterson's record without Carson Wentz under center? It's really good. It was 11-2.
It's 11-3, yeah.
Wow. That's great. That's a crazy stat.
That's the thing. He's 35-33-1 with Carson Wentz, and he's 11-3 with backups. I don't know. Maybe because Doug Peterson was a backup himself, he gets more excited and he gets more motivated. I think that's the thing. I'll say this is my last thing about the Eagles and their quarterback situation is, you know, a lot of people say maybe they just don't play well with Carson Wentz. I think when a backup quarterback comes in and you're in this do or die situation that they've been in the last 3 years where they have to go on this improbable run down the stretch, it makes everybody elevate their play. And I think it makes the head coach and the play caller and Doug Peterson step up his game as well. So that's why I give the Eagles a chance. I think the Cardinals should be favored to win this, and -7 I think is reasonable, but at the same time, I would not count out this Eagles team that when they're backed into a corner, it's honestly when they play the best football.
Let me ask you this one so all of our listeners can have a nice juicy nugget to chew on, and maybe they can throw it on the betonline.ag lines. Is who's the odds-on favorite to be the starting quarterback for the Eagles in 2021?
Oh, man, it's tough. But I think if I still had to put my money on it, I think Carson Wentz gets one more shot to prove that those 4 years of a sample size versus 13 games is the real player the Eagles are getting. So I'm not confident in that, as you can probably tell, but if I was a betting man right now, that's what I'd be doing.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it so much. We're, you know, one flash in the pan, don't have any tape on the – you've been preparing all year for this one team that you're – this one quarterback that you're playing a couple weeks down the road, and you get sandbagged by, you know, one way or another. I mean, Carson Wentz – I couldn't name an offensive lineman on that team right now.
Jason
that's
Kelsey,
fair. And right? It's just Jason Kelsey at center, and everything else has been – I think they've had 14 different offensive line combinations this year.
Wow.
Well, there's only – pretty much every single week, there's been a different combination. That's how bad it's been up front.
It was fun. Louis DiBiase from Locked On Eagles, Alex Clancy Bobrock, Locked On Cardinals. We went a little bit long today, but I feel like every game obviously is more important than the last, especially down the home stretch when we haven't felt what important football feels like in a couple years. And, you know, Bo and I, we want to give you as much information as possible, ask as many questions as possible, so you are as informed as possible ahead of Sunday's game when the Eagles come to State Farm Stadium to play the Arizona Cardinals. Hopefully the Cardinals get a W. We will talk to you tomorrow for all of the, you know, the last-minute insights and our predictions ahead of Sunday's game. We'll talk to you tomorrow.